How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Feeling real good. I've been very busy, and the album is finally coming out, and that's exciting to me.
You know, I've only heard what we just heard. I literally just got the album, and haven't heard the whole thing. I hear it's fabulous, and maybe you could just give us a little of what else is on there and the whole vision of it.
Well, I think the warning sticker that's on it can tell you what's in the album itself, and the warning sticker says, warning, this album contains everything your parents hate, the government fears, and the church preaches against. Enjoy, Bill Hicks. So that'll give you an idea, and let's let not anyone be confused when they buy the album.
Okay. So you haven't lost your irreverence. The West Coast hasn't made you la-la.
No.
Still got your edge.
No, see, I see. People have said that to me. Oh, we're afraid you go to L.A., you're going to lose your... I say to myself, I am my own oyster, my own irritation, and my own pearl.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a self-contained ecological disaster.
What is it like for you out in L.A. now? I know you went out there to bump up your career and to make new connections, and how's it going?
It's going real well. I shook it all up. You know, I changed management, broke up with my girlfriend, and moved to L.A. I think I took turning 30 pretty well. What about you? Don't be around me when I turn 40, Lynn.
Where are you living in L.A.?
I live in West Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
which is west of L.A.
Tell us what you have and how much the rent is.
Get
real personal.
One bedroom, $775. Giant one bedroom.
Giant one bedroom. Got a living room, a bedroom, and
yeah. Secure
kitchen.
Garage parking that I've already had my car broken into and the stereo stolen. And they left all my tapes,
That's the main thing.
That's the thing that bugged me the most. You tasteless scum. You didn't want my Michael Bolton and my Mariah Carey albums? No.
Now, I know you're maintaining your identity and integrity out there, but what's it like on a day-to-day basis being in L.A. with your point of view?
Well, as usual, Lynn, not unlike when I was in New York, I'm never there. You know, I'm out in the middle of the country, so... And what you want to know my point of view on that, it's on the album. I mean, you know, when you're there, I mean, I travel so much, and when you're there, you know, I just stay at home, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know what my view of my home is? It's real nice. I don't have a bed, so I'll give you a whole view of the ceiling. That's what I look at all day.
You haven't tapped into a social scene out there yet?
No, I don't socialize, Lynn.
Really?
Not at all. It's real hard being a misanthrope in the up with people decade, but such is my lot. See, all these people are into this self-esteem thing out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All of this get in touch with the inner child. And I found a picture of my inner child on a milk carton long ago, so it doesn't look very helpful.
So
actually, these people need to get in touch with their outer adult. That's what I think.
Tell us a little about the album. What are some of the topics you cover? And give us a little bit of the material, if you don't mind.
No, the album, we start off with the Clarence Thomas, which I call on the album Sex on Trial, because that's what it was in our puritanical throwback to the, I don't even know what era, the 50s, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that, you know, someone would be sexual in this world seemed to shock a lot of people.
Right.
And I stayed outright on the album that I love pornography and have hours of it on tape. Although my big fear, though, is that I'm going to die someday and my parents are going to have to come clean my apartment out, find that porno wing I've been adding on to for years. There's going to be two funerals on that day. But anyway, it starts off with the sex on trial, and then we go into the war, you know, the Persian Gulf distraction and all that it meant and all that it didn't mean.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about smoking, and, you know, all this is tied in with my basic little point of view, which is freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Personal freedom.
Mm-hmm.
That as long as you don't harm another human being or prevent their freedom, everything goes.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's anarchistic or down south.
It sounds sensible.
It's satanic.
It sounds sensible to me. I don't know if this is on the album or not, Bill, but, you know, we're having these primaries. We're in the year of the presidential election, and it's getting very dramatic. What's your take on it?
Well, my take is that it's, you know, hopeless. And,
it's
usual.
Hopeless.
It's as usual. Well, a lot of stuff bugs me about it. Like, for instance, this whole moniker of Jerry Brown, Moonbeam Jerry Brown, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't really apply to the guy. Why is he a moonbeam? You know what I mean? Why do they consider him a flake? You know, I read this Times article where they breathlessly described how well he's doing in the primaries, and they go, this is a guy who went and worked with Mother Teresa and helped the cripples and... He went to Japan and studied Zen Buddhism. Those would be good things. I don't know where we lost that.
That's right.
But that would be a good man.
Exactly.
But anyway, and also when they call him Moonbeam, and everyone has conveniently forgotten that Nancy Reagan had an astrologer running the White House. You know, mm-hmm. that's conveniently forgotten.
Right.
So basically what you're seeing is the establishment is not going to prevent any, is going to prevent any change. And it's hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that Leonard Cohen song, you know, the good guys lost.
So that's why I think if we can get a Democrat in the White House, we might have a chance for stopping this terrifying drift to the right and get back on some kind of a moderate track at the very least. I don't think we're going to be saved in a Democrat, but I think we can improve things with it. Even Clinton, you know, I'll take Clinton. I don't care what they say about him. I'll take him over Bush any day of the week. If I voted for Dukakis last year, I'll certainly be happy with Clinton this year.
I voted for you, Lynn.
You did you?
I wrote you in.
I appreciate that.
Don't be surprised
now,
when the call comes.
If I can only get 180 more million people to do that, I got the presidency locked.
Are you saying my vote doesn't count? Hussein is still in office, and CIA has a plot to get rid of him. It's worked with them before to get rid of world leaders. The only difficulty they're having is convincing Hussein to fly to Dallas. That seems to be the... Once he's there, it's all wired. Yeah.
You see that bumper sticker? Hussein still has his job. Do you have yours? You know, I noticed you put the song Chicks Dig Jerks on the album.
That's right.
And now, I've never admitted this to our listeners. I played the song a couple of times on the show, and I've said it was executive produced by Bill Hicks. But do people know that you are the lead singer?
Dun, dun, dun. Scoop.
And the group Marblehead Johnson. It's really you singing.
Right. And playing guitar.
And playing guitar.
You know, it's like that. Everyone knows every comic wants to be a musician. Musicians want to be comics.
Mm-hmm.
But I went ahead and did it. What the hell?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and also, you know, the music kind of adds a different little light feel to my comedy, I think. You know what I mean?
It's a great cut. Our special guest this week is Mr. Dangerous, Bill Hicks. Let's talk to him again. Now, someone told me that in your act now, you're talking a lot about JFK, the assassination.
Right.
And that you did a show in California recently that really shocked people. Is this, are you going to do, I'm going to see you this Thursday night at Caroline's.
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't hear it now, but are you going to be doing JFK stuff? And,
absolutely. You know, to me, man, I mean, this is not, you know, I went down to Dallas, okay? Now, you can go to Dealey Plaza where Kennedy was assassinated. You can actually go to the sixth floor of the school book depository. It's a museum. And the window is set up exactly like it did on that day. It was made into a display to look exactly like it did on that day. And it's really accurate because Oswald's not in it, okay? I don't know who did their research, but I applaud them. But it really is. It's called a sniper's nest, and you can't get to the window itself, of course, because anyone who did would go, no way. Okay, I can't even see the road from here, man. But I talk about Kennedy, and to me, it's like anyone who's just into Agatha Christie novels should be interested in this one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good mystery.
It's a great mystery,
and people
go,
Bill, we're talking about Kennedy, man. It's a long time ago. Just let it go. It's a long time ago. Just forget it. And I'm like, all right, you know, then don't bring up Jesus to me, okay? As long as we're talking shelf life here. Bill, you know, Jesus died. Yeah, it was a long time ago, all right? Let it go.
Mm-hmm.
How about this? Pilot, release the files. Quit washing your hands and release the files, Pilot. Who else was on that grassy Golgotha?
You know, there's a new, you know about the new book that's out speaking of the Kennedy assassination called Firsthand Knowledge by a CIA agent who was part of the conspiracy who bought the rifles for the team of assassins that were mob hitmen. And he said Oswald was absolutely a patsy.
Right. Well,
this is a guy who was there, who was part of it. He almost died from some disease recently. And he said before he went to his grave, he wanted to tell, he had to come forward and tell the truth. And he encouraged everybody who participated to now come forward and tell the truth. And you never hear about this book.
Right.
You know,
well,
it's out there, and it's a very credible book.
There's so many books out about it, and they all, a lot of them,
something
I've
like
read 400. A lot of them. Yeah, I've read a lot of them, and they all have, some of them are very similar, some of them are obvious, some of them are different, some of them are like the one you said were first-hand accounts of people involved, and they're all different. And I just think it's a giant disinformation act, and I really think that if we really want to know what happened, we should demand that those files be released. They go, well, we can't for the sake of national security. Well, I have news for you. I'm not feeling too secure. I don't know who these people are running our government. Who are you? You're our representatives.
Right.
You got that? We should take back this country, man. And also, this paying this debt off, the federal deficit, yeah, it's going to be really hard. But you know what would make it a little easier? All those politicians that spent our money, hang them one day at a time. And that would make that extra 50 cents gas a little bit easier to pay, wouldn't it? Strom Thurmond hanging by his scrawny chicken neck. Huh? That would make me feel really easily. I'll put some more money in the coffer for that.
Mm-hmm.
Payback, buddy. Payback. Yeah, so I'm America's foremost enemy, and it's in this time of backslapping.
Well, you're not an enemy. You're a revolutionary. You're a truth seeker. I don't think you're an enemy.
I know it, but in light of what they call
you
America,
love America, don't you?
I love America.
We all love America. We're just angry at the government that mismanages
it. Who aren't Americans?
they're, I think they're anti-American
in
a lot of ways.
I did too.
Okay, moving ahead.
This is a test. Only a test. Lynn Belzer will not be returning. This is a test. Do not change your thing.
Oh,
your
boy.
Thing. Listen to me, improv, huh? Do not change your thing. Good, Bill.
Now, last time
I
you were here...
I should read more.
You should what?
I should read more. Okay.
Last time you were here, you told me about your life in L.A. as being very reclusive.
Yes.
And out of the loop of society there and just home staring at the ceiling and working on your comedy.
Right.
Is it still that way?
Hate it. I call it hell-A.
L.A.
And it's a horrible place, and the quicker and sooner it falls in the ocean like a piece of pie and flushed away, the better the world will be. People, first of all, it's fall. I love the fall. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
L.A., 85, sunny, hot. And they love that. Isn't it great? Hot and sunny. What are you, reptiles? Only lizards feel that way. Okay? I'm a mammal. I can afford scarves, coats, jackets, cappuccino, and rosy-cheeked women. I can afford all of those things. Have, and we'll do it again. I have the soul of a poet, not a Gila monster. I don't get that sunshine deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know why L.A.'s always warm? Because it's real close to hell. That's why. Some studio is digging a pool for a Jaws 20 film, and they punch through the netherworld wall, and now there's this interactive traffic. No toll booth.
Mm-hmm. I don't like L.A. either. Every time I go out there, I get headaches from the air.
It's a horrible place. Horrible. And I can't stand this idol worship of America of it. You know, like the commercials you see. Ha ha, L.A. Look at all the young starlets rehearsing their lines out on Sunset Boulevard, waiting for the big break. Those are transvestites. You're not fooling me. Ah, L.A., look at the young stars over there. Those are male hookers. Quit putting on this glitter on this. This is a cesspool. Ha ha.
So won't come back to New York City.
I think I might. And, and I really love the idea of living in New York here and or in London, you know, one or the other. And right now, you know, I just go over there and they really love me. I can't figure it out. And I'm not going to fight it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're beautiful women, too. Another thing I'm sick of is these leather-skinned iguana blondes. You know, forget it. I want pale witch women. Porcelain, translucent, black hair, doe eyes, wrist scars. I want it all. I want the
wrist scars.
Wrist scars. I want the
woman with character.
Listen, Len. You know my schedule. It's not conducive to a relationship, right? But I think I'm at a point, maturity wise and career wise, where I can make a good woman's life a living hell right now. I really
so
feel
go
like,
for it.
I feel like
you
I'm,
really want to go for it.
I feel like I'm up for something good.
You've got a rock band called Marblehead Johnson, and we played their song with you singing the lead, Chicks Dig Jerks.
Right.
What's going on with you and Marblehead?
Oh, good.
You and your group.
I thought you were going to ask what's going on with you and Chicks.
That's the next question.
Oh, okay. Well, Chicks Dig Jerks 2 will be in your mailbox any day. Well, right now, when I come back from England, actually Marblehead and I are going to join up and do a little acoustic jazz album. I've become really weird, man. I'm just off the beaten path. Like, success can't mean that much to me right now. So before anyone even knows about Marblehead, in other words, we're already selling out and doing Michael Bolton without Michael Bolton.
Acoustic jazz isn't selling out.
No, I know it. I'm rambling. Mm-hmm. But, Yeah, we're still trying to get together, man. The biggest problem with my career, like anybody's in this business, is time constraints. You're never anywhere. That's why you can't have a relationship. That's why you can't have a dog. That's why you can't have a cat. You can't have a plant. You can have a fish, but it'll be bloated and smelly.
Well, you can have a relationship with a woman who'll go on the road with you. I mean, guys do that, and men have. Jay Leno, every time when he was on the road, his wife went everywhere with him.
Yeah.
So that's no excuse.
You think she'd go with me? Does she just like that or what?
Jay's doing pretty good right now.
Yeah.
Well, how is it going in your life now in regard to the opposite sex?
Well, I am going to England and I am wife hunting. I'll be straightforward about
it. Good for you.
I am looking for an heiress.
Go ahead. What else?
She must live in a castle. She must love dogs. She must be involved in some type of spiritual study, activity, yoga, health food, vegetarianism, whatever. And if there is such a thing as an old soul, I hope she has it, so that we can sit quietly together, watch a leaf turn color in the fall, and both turn to each other and smile.
That's very beautiful.
And then...
very poetic.
Like a rabbit.
Bleep!